this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We turn back to the beginning of the Bible, to the first two people, Adam, Eve. Who remembers what their first two boys were named? Cain and Abel. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? What was the difference? Yeah, Abel is good, Cain bad. So I guess we can't say it in less words than that. That's true. What? That's the fact. What was the difference? Not the home they were raised in, right? The home wasn't the problem, right? You know, nowadays in today's society, we hear people say, well, you know, TV's the problem. Maybe you've ever heard somebody say that. Television, you know, it gets into our minds and it's what's ruining society. Well, we say that there's truth to that. But you know, that wasn't Cain and Abel's problem, was it? You know, sometimes when there's a tragedy in the United States of America, they'll say it's from Xbox, right? You know, Xbox or gaming systems have ruined the minds of our young people. We say, well, we agree that they've ruined the minds of our young people, but certainly that wasn't Cain and Abel's problem, was it? Did they game? I doubt they gamed. But yet, the first two children born on this earth, one killed the other. Cain killed his brother. And at that point, what did God do? Well, you know, we know all that's associated with it, but we've learned that the difference between Cain and Abel was that Abel understood that for access to God, there must be blood shed, right? That the difference wasn't the home they were raised in, wasn't the problem, wasn't the way one was treated over the other. It wasn't society that bombarded them with these thoughts, or wasn't that what was influenced them? It was what they thought about access to God. And so Cain believed he could come in his own way, and Abel came in God's appointed way. Okay? And so we see this right in Genesis, and we see it follow through. We turn hundreds of years later to the book of Exodus. Children of Israel as a nation, there are now 3 million of them. They're living in slavery, right? They're in Egypt. They're living as slaves. They're being abused by Pharaoh. And so they, even though they've been a disobedient nation and they haven't been obedient to the Lord and they haven't honored the Lord in their life, at a certain point in history, they cry out to God for salvation. What does he do? When people cry out to God for salvation, what does he do? Well, he answers them. He saves them. Okay, and so, but there's certainly some things that have to be done. And so, in Exodus chapter 12, what had to happen was, in a Jewish home, the dad went out on the 10th day, and he got a little lamb, right, under a year old lamb, and he brought that lamb into the house, okay, and it lived in the house, and for four days, the family observed the lamb to make sure it was perfect. Right? That was the point, that it was perfect in in its character, perfect in its makeup. And then on the 14th day, the Father slit the throat of that lamb, and its blood poured out into a bowl. Okay. This would be jarring, to say the least, right? I mean, this would be tragic. This would be serious. And the blood was poured out, and then the dad took and he applied the blood on the door, right? And so if we were to ask if Jewish children who were raised in Jewish homes, if we were to ask this question, did they understand that sin is serious? What do you think they would say? They would understand that sin was serious, right? Because God's plan was that every year they would observe the Passover. And so that this, whatever this whole process was, it would happen every year. And so they would observe that sin was serious, and they would be, this message, this truth would be enforced in their life every year. Do you think that the culture of North America understands the seriousness of sin? No, I mean, hey, you talk about Eastern countries, you know, Eastern countries that observe Western culture. What's one of the things you often hear? It's one of the things you often hear by Eastern cultures, what they observe in Western culture. Well, it's immorality, for one thing, right? You know that, and this is stuff you can check, you can Google this. What do people who live in a communist society, for instance, Russia, what do they think of American television? Somebody help me out. What do they think about movies made in America? Are movies that you can watch in North America and say, primetime television, 7 o'clock tonight, you can go home and you could watch a movie on TV. Would Russian people have access to that same movie? Why? Yeah, that's what they would say. In a communist society, they would be restricted from watching. Why? Because of its immorality. Because of its wickedness. Do you think that it's a problem today in where we live in Vancouver, that morality, do we understand the seriousness of sin? Well, I suggest to you we don't. Not like Jewish children. Now, hey, not saying that they were always on the right path, but hey, every year, they would be reminded that when a life was given, that this innocent lamb's blood was shed, they would be reminded that sin was serious. Now, Judaism wasn't perfect, right? Judaism wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect because the Bible says that lamb's blood couldn't take away sin, right? Do you remember what it said? It said this, it could only cover over. And so every year it had to continue to happen. So, and we turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read not just about Mary and Joseph, the first part. We just read that for context. But we're going to read about some men who were in their fields watching over their flocks by night. And I'm going to suggest to you that these men who were raised most likely in Jewish homes, that these men understood the seriousness of sin. Right? We were thinking this morning upstairs that these men most likely, in fact, I'm convinced of it, were raising their flocks for sacrifice, for death in the temple, that they would raise these thousands, tens of thousands of lambs every year. People would come from all over. Jews from all over the world would come back to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. And God said to them, hey, you can't bring your lamb from a long ways away. That we know. God says, I know that doesn't work. But what you can do is you can sell your lamb at home and you can bring the money. And when you get to Jerusalem, you can buy a perfect lamb. And you can take that lamb up to the temple, Passover week, and the priests will cut the throat of your lamb, and that lamb will cover over your sin for another year. And so Jewish historians have told us that, you know, in those years, sometimes more than a quarter of a million lambs, more than a quarter of a million lambs would die in Passover week. If we were to get a real picture of what the temple looked like, sometimes we see the temple and all the gold and the magnificence, and we say, yes, that's true. But what would the temple look like in Passover week? What color would it be?
Red.
It'd be red. There would be blood everywhere. And so, you know, if a Jewish child would ask the question, why so much bloodshed? What would God say? Well, we don't have to speculate. He answers that for us in Hebrews chapter 9. Listen to this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You know, that's the message of the gospel. Hey, that's what the people of Western culture need. Hey, they need a message of forgiveness. They need a message of salvation. But you know, that's not unique to Western culture. Eastern culture needs that. Hey, that's always been the need of the world. You know, if it was about money, the Lord Jesus would have been born a financial advisor. Right? If it was about peace through military prowess, he would have been born a general or some kind of a warlord. If it was just teaching, now this is a challenge. This particular point is a challenge, because I mean, we agree, hey, money we know doesn't answer the problems of the world, right? We know that. Hey, we know military prowess, that doesn't answer the need. We've seen that in history. But you know, there's lots of people that believe, hey, if we just had proper teaching, you know, if we would just learn more, we could change. 2 days ago on the radio, you know, with all this stuff that's come out recently of actions of people in the past, you know, they've had these actions 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. Now it's all coming to light. People are telling the stuff that people had done to them in the past, and these men are losing their jobs. And so you hear these people talking on the radio saying things like, you know, I believe that person's a better person today than he was then. You know, that we're all really on this path to learning and that we're getting better. Is that true? Are you a better person than you were 20 years ago? You know, in your flesh, I'm not talking as a Christian. Are you a better person? I would suggest this. We're better at hiding it probably, aren't we? That's what we're better at doing. We're more discreet. You know, we understand what it takes to fool people, right? And so, hey, listen, we are not on this trajectory of bad to good, but yet that's what the world believes. And so they would say, hey, the solution is we need teaching. Did the Lord Jesus come as a teacher? Not in Luke chapter 2. I mean, not that he couldn't teach. He did teach. Hey, there was lots of people who sat under his teaching who said, hey, nobody ever taught like him. Are all those people in heaven, do you think, who said nobody ever taught like him? No. Hey, they couldn't denounce the things he said. They couldn't. They tried. They couldn't denounce the power with which he spoke. They couldn't denounce the authority that his words had. But you know, that's not what delivered them from sin. Right? says in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Then it says this, "This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And so the Lord Jesus wasn't born teacher, wasn't born a financial advisor, wasn't born a general in an army, a warlord, however you see that. He was born a Savior. That's because that's what the world needs. That's what we need. We need to be saved. And again, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus appeared to these men who were shepherds who understood the seriousness of sin. And that's what we need. The solution for sin is forgiveness. That's what makes the message of Christianity so unique and yet so needed for every heart. You know, I was thinking of, you know, all these things that have come out in the news in the last, not just in the last couple of weeks, but in the last few years, of people who had skeletons in their closet. Do you have a skeleton in your closet? Do you? Do you? Do you think you have something that if somebody said something, you know, that maybe nobody knows about it, but if everything was known about you, we would all have skeletons in the closet, right? We would all have things in our life that we wished we could change, that we could go back in time and somehow do it different. But you know what the problem is? Right here. That's the problem. So even if I could go back in time and fix that mistake, I'd be guilty of other mistakes. And so that's not the message of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to teach us a better way. He came to save us from our sin. Hey, he knows everything about me. Hey, although others don't, the Lord Jesus knows everything about me. He knows everything that I ever did. And so when he was born a Savior, as we sang this morning, it was an anticipation of going to the cross. That's what he was going to do. It was an anticipation of going to the cross and paying the penalty for sin. Right? And so the shepherds, they understand this. They're thrilled with this message. They're glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it says in verse 15 that after the angel had gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 16 says, "They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, this next section speaks of responsibility, right? That the message of the Bible calls for personal responsibility. That although this message, there's no message like it, this idea of Christ being born a Savior, it's what I need, but yet God doesn't force this on me. It's not forced on anybody. You know, that the shepherds heard the message, we already have suggested. They understood the seriousness of sin. They were exposed to it their whole lives. They knew that we needed saving. They understood that. But yet, they're still called to personal responsibility. Well, how does that relate to us today? Well, you know, I think even in a group like this, it's good to think, to reflect in my life. Was there ever a time when I came to this realization? That it wasn't just self-help. I didn't need to just change myself. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about power. That I had a flaw that was deeply rooted, that something was wrong inside. The Bible calls sin, right? And it's important we again be reminded of that, because there's so much influence from the outside that would discount all of what the Bible calls as wrong, right? Everywhere you look, they Hollywood says when a man cheats on his wife, right? He has a wife and he has sex outside of his marriage with a woman, what does Hollywood call that? What do they call that? It's called an affair, right? Isn't it? Is that what the world calls that, an affair? What does the Bible call that? Yeah, it calls it adultery. And it calls it sin. And so in every way our society downplays the seriousness of sin, the Bible never does. The Bible not only doesn't downplay it, but it gives a solution for it. And so it's in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. So the shepherds, they're aware of this, but it still calls for personal responsibility. So we say, is there ever a time in my life where I came to this realization how serious sin was, and that the Bible's message, the solution, is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, born a Savior. So the shepherds, they come with haste, says, and I think it's good to be reminded that not only does the message call for responsibility, but, you know, that it's today, right? That the message of the gospel is today. Today is the day of salvation. You know, some summers I get the opportunity to preach at camp, and you know, kids, they love the message of the gospel. This idea that God loves the world, loves them, knows all about them, that Christ loves them, gave himself for them, that they can be forgiven for their sin, they can go to heaven. Hey, that's a wonderful message. But of course, the challenge that 12-year-old kids have, you know what the challenge is? That they think they're going to live forever, right? If I was preaching to a group of 8 to 12-year-olds this morning, and I said to them, how old is old? What do you think they would say? Hey, well, some of them would say 30. I've done it. I've asked, and they'd say 30's old. I'm like, you have no idea. And so they have this vision of themselves living forever. You know, time is never going to stop. Hey, but listen, the message of the gospel is a message to be received with haste. Hey, not just, listen, not just because I don't know when I'm going to leave this earth. But listen, if you haven't experienced eternal life, you haven't yet begun to live. And so it's not just to be saved from, but what God wants to do for you. And so I say to the kids at camp, I say, hey, listen, do you think there's anybody else in this, in your family who needs this message? And you know what they often say? They say, yeah, my mom needs it, or my dad needs it, or my brother needs it. I say, well, hey, if you don't receive it, you don't receive the message of Christ, how are you ever going to share it with somebody else? And so it's not just haste to be delivered from a judgment yet to come, but you know that we can be possessors, present possessors of eternal life here and now today. The life of Christ, as our brother Harold reminded us, by receiving him, the life of Christ comes to live within. He himself comes to live within. And we have eternal life, and we can go and share it with others. Well, this is the story of the shepherds. They came with haste. It says verse 16, notice this. They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Notice the accuracy of verse 17. Now when they had seen them, is that what it says? We read it again. They came with haste. We've said the urgency of this message. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen them, when they had seen him, right? Him. Hey, the message of Christianity is in the person of Jesus Christ. Not in the church we go to, not in the people we hang out. Praise God for church and for Christians we can hang out with. We love that, the fellowship of God's people. But Christianity is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so when the shepherds had found him, when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And so again, they were familiar. They were familiar with the need for a Savior. They were waiting. And it says, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so they couldn't keep the message to themselves. You know, their life had been changed. Yes, they were building up through their life, waiting for the Savior to come, familiar with the seriousness of sin. But still, the message that they heard called for responsibility on their own part. Say, well, how do I respond to the message? Well, we respond in our hearts. We respond in our hearts. I mean, it's not the idea of coming forward. I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's not the idea of coming forward. It's a transaction of the heart. Some years ago in the town of 100 miles, 4 hours north of where I live now in Abbotsford, I was at a summer Bible camp, and it was a large group of kids, similar to this size, and we're actually sitting in four rows. So there's a section here, 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 and here. A little girl sitting in the corner here, her friend sitting across the aisle here. She puts up her hand. She says, question. I said, yeah, go ahead. She said, are you saying that if I receive the Lord Jesus in my heart, I'll have eternal life and I'll go to heaven? And so I pause because, you know, I can't think of a question in life more important than that. Well, there isn't one. Are you saying that if I receive the Lord Jesus in my heart, I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven? What do you answer to that? I say, I hope that's exactly what I'm saying because that's what the Bible teaches. So I say yes to that. Well, when she says that, listen, the girl on the other side of the aisle from her, I see her close her eyes and I see her talking. Not out loud, just her lips moving. And you know, I think that I was witness during that little transaction of a girl who didn't ask the question but heard the question, heard the answer that her friend gave, that she had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I expect, in fact, I'm convinced that I'll see that young lady in heaven someday. And so, in a group this size, do we think that everybody's had this opportunity? Say, well, certainly have this opportunity this morning. Some things we've gone over. Hey, the seriousness of sin. Sin is serious. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his precious blood, gave his life for sin, right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But in contrast, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the message that the shepherds heard is the message of the continuation of the gospel. This idea, sin is serious. Christ came and died for sin to save us from our sin. That doesn't mean everybody's saved. Still called to personal responsibility, and would suggest it's through a conversation with the Lord Jesus. Hey, he's here. He's here. You can talk to him. Now, you don't have to talk to him through me. In fact, that's not the way you meet him. Now, we'd like to introduce him to you, but you have your own conversation with him. And then I would say, in addition to that, if you've never had that, then you don't have eternal life. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I have a relationship with Jesus. I would ask the question, brother, are you married? Are you sure? How do you know?
I'm my son.
Well, that doesn't mean you're married because you have a son. I mean, I know how that works, but you know you're married, right? Because you were there the day it happened, right? Whatever happened, you were there the day it happened. Hey, he knows he has a relationship with his wife, right? And I'm married and I know that. But you would know if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus because that's what it's like. And so if you haven't, then hey, we encourage you to today, to talk to the Lord Jesus, to receive him into your heart. And as John the Apostle, who loved to speak about the Lord Jesus, says this, he who has the Son has life. That's how it happens. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're grateful for the message of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus. Father, we're grateful to be reminded this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for sin, that he paid the penalty for sin on the cross, and that as we think of Christmas this year and the opportunity for gift giving and giving and receiving, we're grateful that, Father, you loved the world and gave your Son, and that, Father, whoever receives him receives life eternal in and through the Lord Jesus. And so we pray for each one this morning that you would help us to take these things in and to be convinced of them in our own hearts and to share them with others. Thank you for each one here, for each family that's represented. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.